Hank. In seventh grade, Judy and I snagged Linda Forbes and a set of bongo drums and headed for the bright lights and footlights. Music became our life. Somewhere along the way, we met Hank. Judy had a den where we'd rehearse, day in, day out, evenings, weekends, and holidays. We started with a $25 guitar, whose razor wire strings hung miles above the fretboard. When business improved, the highwayman directed us to Manny's on 48th Street in the city, where we purchased two beautiful guilds. Anyway, back to Hank. He didn't get along with his family. He played the blues. He let his brown hair grow long before anyone else did, and he wrote his own songs. He was a lonesome boy, smart, funny, with a big laugh. He was incredibly sincere, something just not done by teenage boys in the early 60s. Judy's mother, Jean, adored him. Then there was the business of hygiene. Hank smelled really good the day he bathed and put on clean clothes, even the day after that and the day after that. You know how teenagers are. There are always more kids than cars, and you always need to go someplace, so you pile in. Just climb on each other's laps, and away you go. With Hank, it was never a problem the day he bathed, and the day after that, or the day after that. But it became a problem as time went by, and he became more and more ripe. Then we'd be drawing straws. Allow me. No, please, allow you. No, you have the honor. The thing was, it was embarrassing because we all really liked him, but he never understood his hygiene was an issue. He wrote great songs. My favorite was called Taking That Line On Down. Long line, lonesome line, looking for something I might never find. Keep on traveling all the time, with my worries on my mind. Hank loved the girl in town the other guys used for sex. She was a little girl, blonde, bobbed hair, wore white blouses over plaid skirts. She went to Catholic school. The sex part is an unconfirmed rumor, but we would drop guys off there after school and come back in 30 minutes to pick them up. Hank loved her, respected her, cared for her like nobody else did. He'd sit in Judy's den for hours playing his guitar. He'd tell stories about walking the streets of New York. He'd describe the different neighborhoods, the open-air markets, the people he'd met, and the conversations he'd had. In 1963, the Trashmen recorded the most irritating song known to man, Surfin' Bird. Da-da-da-da-da-da, the bird is the word. Da-da-da-da-da-da, the bird is the word. It was horrible, and Hank loved it. He sang it constantly, driving us crazy, then laughing his great toothy laugh. One afternoon, he brought a small bird home from the city in a beautiful Tunisian birdcage. These things earned him his local nickname, the Bird. The Vietnam War was building and the draft ramping up. Hank was 18. He was supposed to register, but he refused. See those bottles? I killed each one, hoping to find me a little fun, but I guess I'm still not done taking that line on down. Hank's parents threw him out because he stopped going to school on anything you could call a regular basis, and his sister wouldn't talk to him because she was a preppy, going to college, really clean cut, hang out with the jocks kind of girl, and Hank was anything but that, and he smelled bad. The only people in his family who really accepted him were his grandparents, and they were in their 80s. They loved him. They'd give him money, take him in, get him bathed, and talk to him. They remembered his birthday and gave him Christmas presents. Hank spent more and more time in New York. I'm leaving this fair town. No money or loving have I found. Ain't no use in hanging round, taking that line on down.
Time passed, and we heard often of him. He was sleeping under tables in the village, trying to stay away from the draft people. His parents weren't happy with him. Things were not good. Hank learned his grandfather was dying. He went home. His parents wouldn't allow him to see his grandfather unless he cut his hair. Hank refused.
Long line, lonesome line, looking for something I might never find. Keep on traveling all the time, with my worries on my mind.
Hank was homeless in the village. He'd be in different corners of different bars at different times. People loved him, so they'd let him hang around. He thought the FBI was after him. The draft people were looking for him. People would see him panhandling. His nose would be running. He'd be filthy. His friends were worried. He was looking strange. He was looking scared. He left New York and headed west. Judy's mother would send him money when he'd call. She bailed him out of jail once. Then he called from a psychiatric ward in Texas. He was there to rebuild his character. Gene said his voice sounded odd, flat. "I'm going to change, Gene. I'm going to be different. I'm going to have a normal life with a wife, a home, and a station wagon. You just wait and see. You just wait and see. Long line, lonesome line, looking for something I might never find. Keep on traveling all the time, taking that line on down. Lord, I'm taking that line on down, taking that line on down." We never heard from Hank again. The roster for his 40th high school reunion listed him as deceased. It gave no details. I miss him. I still sing his songs. I can still hear his laughter.